Welcome to another brilliant sport and lifestyle biz here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio. This week we've got three brand new interviews for you from Danny Mullins, leading jockey over in Ireland, Alexi Spans, American soccer player for Virginia, and also Molly Campbell, superstar young golfer, all of them telling us about their sports and their recent endeavours. Also, we have our SLB Sports Roundup, and we really hope you enjoy the show. As indicated, we're starting with Danny Mullins, leading jockey in Ireland. Well, today, everyone, we're joined by a superstar jockey. It's been a while since we spoke to him, but he is the jockey of the moment. It's Danny Mullins, all the way from Ireland. Hi, Danny, how are you?
I'm good, John, how are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Hope you had a good Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, you know, and some great winners and hopefully more to come in the spring.
Yep. Fantastic. When we last spoke, we were talking about you. I've always been considered one of the best jockeys around. There was a pecking order at Willie's and you were just wanting that opportunity. You had six grade ones, unless you can correct me that it's more, in 2021, which is an amazing stat. You've already started off this year on New Year's Day with a grade two win at the famous Cheltenham Racecourse. Before we come on to the victories and about horses that you've ridden to these big wins, is it just about getting those opportunities that can really click your career and your confidence into top gear?
Yeah, you know, you put in the work day in, day out to keep yourself in shape, and you know, you analyse all the races and see how you can achieve the best results with what you're given. But when you start to get opportunities to ride some very good horses, it just makes life that little bit easier. And you know, I'm very fortunate. I get to ride an awful lot of very good horses, and I'm just thankful I can repay the owners and trainers by winning the races they want to win.
It's fabulous, and it's great to see, and obviously see you doing so well. We mentioned how many big wins you'd had in 2021 and started off already again this year. One horse I'd just like to draw you on, if you don't mind. It's a one I think you're the only one that's won a grade one on him. Yet he keeps falling, but I don't think he's a particularly bad jumper. That's Asterion Falange. You won the big Christmas race, the King George at Kempton, on a horse called Tornado Fly. Tell us first of all about Tornado Flyer, your big victory, how the race went and your preparation, and then a little bit about Asterion Falange, and if you think he's just one of those horses that's always going to be a little bit unlucky, or if you think he's got a big one in him.
Yeah, you know, firstly, I suppose on Tornado, Tornado's always been a decent horse. I've won a couple of times on him now, and you know, he hadn't won for 2 years previous to the King George, but he'd always been knocking on the door. He'd only one run over 3 miles previous to that, and the race just didn't unfold for him quite as he would have liked that day in Leopardstown. You know, what he'd done in the King George, to me, it was maybe a bit more than I was expecting, but I fully expected him to run quite a good race in it, and just the way the tactics played out, it gave him an opportunity to really show what he can do.
Yeah, and just from a person outside of races' point of view, it was a fantastic ride. It was a very strong pace. You sat off it. What's it like as you're ticking all the big-named horses as you go past them? Do you feel excitement, or do you just keep it all level until you go past that line?
You keep it all level until you go past the line. I suppose you're, in effect, driving a car where you can't see the fuel gauge. You've just got to feel the rhythm of the horse, make sure you have enough left to deliver your challenge as late as you can, you know, when you're riding that kind of a race from off the pace. And it doesn't really matter what horses you're going by. It matters what horses can come back by you by the time you get to the business end.
Yeah, a lovely way of putting it. Absolutely right. And one of those horses that you did go past and was in second place to you at the last is one we've just mentioned, Asterion Falange. For me, it looks like he's going to always go well in a big one. Having said that, you know, he always travels well and looks to show up in races. What's your take on him?
know, Asterion has an awful lot of ability. He's just been so unlucky through his career. But, you know, he's proven that it will happen for him at some stage. If you had a horse that didn't have the engine and jumped great, well, I don't think you could ever believe you're going to win a proper big race. But with Asterion, you know the engine is there. You know he can jump. He has chinks in his armour all right, and you know he just has a bad record, fallen plenty of times. But he's a horse you definitely would want to have another go with. There's someday it will fall into place for him and he will get that big race. It's just a matter of putting it all together on the day.
Yeah, a fantastic analogy there of what you said about him. You'd rather have a horse with an engine that has a couple of chinks, because if he does put it right, you could win a big one, rather than a horse that jumps great but is never going to win a big one. So that's really nice to say. So hopefully there is one in him. He's a horse that you've won a grade one on over hurdles at Leopardstown. Another horse that you won a grade one on, which was last year, and you also won on New Year's Day, is Stormy Island. Not the biggest of horses, but she does try her hardest.
Yeah, Stormy's a right little mare. You know, she probably is the smallest horse in the whole of Willie's yard, but she's got a heart of gold. You know, she's so tough. She's given me some great days. You know, she's won a few of the spring festivals last year, and she looks to be in flying form again this year on what she achieved in Cheltenham New Year's Day.
Yeah, it was a fantastic ride, a fantastic performance by her. I'm not sure if she has to be in front, but she always puts herself out there, doesn't she? You know, she always puts herself in the line of fire and takes it to the girls or the boys, whoever she's racing against.
Yeah, you know, on what we've seen in Cheltenham yesterday, I'd say she's getting very intelligent on how she races now, where in her younger days she was just a little bit more hot-headed. But, you know, once she ensures there's a strong early pace, you know, maybe she just doesn't have a turn of foot later in the race. But off a strong early pace, she's just very hard to peg back.
Nice. Lovely to hear. And she may be back at Cheltenham, I presume, possibly in March.
I'd imagine the mare's hurdle in Cheltenham is probably the main aim with her. Willie and the owners will have a chat about what she does between now and then. She has a couple of weeks, so they might try find another race for her before Cheltenham. Yeah. And even if she doesn't run again, Willie is well able to get them there in tip-top shape.
Yeah, I mean, when you sort of think about it, we're now into 2022, and even though it's only just started, it's not actually that far away, is it, when you're talking about getting a run into something, or, you know, taking on another big challenge?
That's it. You know, when you're handling a horse of that level of ability, they have to run in the top races, and top races are run at an end-to-end gallop. You know, you have to be tactical, that you don't empty the tank with them before Cheltenham. So that's a big part of what the top class trainers do. You know, they know exactly how to handle all the animals and get them where they want them in the best shape.
That's great for you to tell us that. One thing I just want to touch on away from the horses, which it will only be one subject. I know we really just want to talk to you about the horses and you, but there's a lot of debate going around that Cheltenham is the be-all and end-all for the national hunt season. But for me, especially in Ireland, you still see the top horses run again and again. Is Cheltenham the be-all and end-all in your eyes? Do you sort of work backwards from it? Or I know you said that you've got to be careful not to empty the gauge, but you still put focus on other prizes through the season, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you see the likes of Clandizobo probably won't go to Cheltenham again this year.
Yeah.
And he proved that he just doesn't like Cheltenham. So for him, it's definitely not the be-all and end-all. I'd imagine Kenboy possibly might not go to Cheltenham again this year. He was just touched off in Leopardstown over Christmas. He's had his few cracks at the Gold Cup in Cheltenham, but it hasn't worked out. So he could be one that'll go the Aintree Punchestown route.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody loves to be in Cheltenham and it's got all the history with it. But there's so many other good races with fantastic prize money through the year.
Yeah.
You know, the Dublin Festival is really getting up there on the pecking order for people that want to win at the big spring festivals. Then you have Aintree, Fairy House, Punchestown. And even after that, you're looking at Autoy in May and June. I've been fortunate enough to go and ride in the likes of Nashville and Far Hills in America as well. So there's just so many places you can go with these good horses. And, you know, Cheltenham, it's got all the history, but, you know, there's plenty more options and plenty more fun to be had.
Absolutely. One thing you did mention there was riding in Nashville. To be honest, I don't know very much at all about American jump racing. Obviously, on the flat, they tend to go straight from the gate, and it's a totally different style of racing. Is it totally different over there in America, or is it more consistent?
Yeah, I suppose the ground would be fairly good over there all the time, and they go a good gallop as well, but yeah. A lot of the jumping horses over there are ex-flat horses, so that's probably why so many of the Irish horses that have been sold to go and race over there have done so well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the prize money is fantastic, and as I said already, I've been lucky enough to go on so many of those trips, and for owners and trainers, you know, it's great fun at the end of a long season here for them to be able to go and enjoy those kind of trips.
Thank you, Danny. Part one of a brilliant interview, and after the short commercials, we'll be straight back in with Alexis Spans all the way from Virginia in America.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser.
B-Cure Laser.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, everyone, this week I'm joined by a young American superstar, soccer player Alexis Spans from Virginia Union. Hi, Alexis, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you. I appreciate you giving your time up to provide this interview for us. We're really excited that you're on the show.
Me too, I'm very excited.
Brilliant, that's absolutely brilliant. Well, it's unique for us to have an American soccer stroke football player on the show. So you're playing currently at a very, very good standard. But if we can get the listeners a bit more insight in you, when did you first realise you had a love for soccer?
So yeah, I started playing soccer when I was 9 years old. I started at a rec league. And at the age I started at 9, I started later than most players. Before soccer, I tried many other sports such as volleyball, track, gymnastics. But ultimately, a friend got me into soccer. So I moved from club to club because my playing level was increasing and I wanted to be around more talented players and be pushed.
Yeah.
I realized early love for soccer. You know, it was different than other sports that I tried. I loved how competitive soccer is and the family bonds that soccer creates.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point, actually. You do become your own little family, don't you, within your team, your side, your club that you're playing for.
Yeah, you know, you play on the field, but your best friend's off the field, you know. You go out to dinner, you go have sleepovers, you go to pool parties. It's definitely awesome, the kind of connections you make and the everlasting friendships.
Yeah, that's wonderful, and a really nice point that you've brought up. That's really good to hear. It's a pretty well-known fact over here that soccer in America for women, ladies, girls is a lot better catered for than it is in the UK. With many places actually over here, there's no teams at all, and some girls have to play mixed football, especially at a young age. How easy was it for you to find a team in America? Were you able to move straight into a girls-only team, or did you have to play mixed football as well?
So at the beginning, it was really easy to find a team. Lots of clubs in this area that I live in And, you know, when I was young, it was mostly for fun. And as I got older, the teams got more selective and the players got better, which made the clubs more competitive. And here, since there's so many teams, there's different teams for the boys and the girls, so you never really play with the boys.
Well, that's really nice, as I said, to hear. There's still, over here in the UK, there's a lot of girls of decent standard that have to play with the boys. So nice that you could easily find a team. When you got into soccer, did you have any inspirations on or off the pitch that inspired you to go and do your best and improve every time you went onto the training ground?
Yeah, so my biggest inspiration was Carly Lloyd. So I went to her clinic that she had where she kind of led the training session and you just like practiced under her and she was watching. And I also went to her book signing when she released her book. What inspires me about Carly Lloyd is that when she didn't make her club team at 11 years old, she worked even harder to prove the coaches wrong. And she never gave up, which, you know, inspires me to this day. When something happens or you don't make a team, I keep working hard to prove them wrong. And they might not say that you were right, but just to prove them wrong really inspires me.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point and something we may come on to at the end of the interview when we're talking about your advice to younger players. The fact that you never give up. I don't know anybody in the world of sport that I've spoken to who hasn't had some form of rejection going through. And the easiest thing, isn't it, is to quit or give up. But it just shows that strength to come back twice as hard and prove people wrong and fulfill your dreams.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. And a great attitude to have. So you played for Metro United, who were formerly Washington Spirit. How was that for you? And it just seems a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, so I was very impressed with the coaching and organization under Coach Tom Torres at Washington Spirit. Coach Torres recruited me when I was 13 years old to play at the Developmental Academy.
Yep.
With Washington Spirit, we got to watch the professional team play, practice, and even got to meet some of the players. And the players would also come to watch our practices and our games. After two seasons, Washington Spirit had to make some tough decisions, so they cut the Developmental Academy, which was really sad. But, you know, it worked out for the best because the club turned into Metro United, so it was the same coaches and the same players.
Oh, that's good. So it's effectively just a name change.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was.
And that's really good because it is important, isn't it, you know, to get the right bond with your coach. The fact that you believe that they're actually helping you, you have to take on board really their ideas. And when you start seeing results and improvement, that obviously encourages you to continue on the journey.
It does.
Absolutely fabulous. So you progressed well and represented the VA Olympic developmental team. When did you realize you had such a talent that you could aim that high?
So I realized I had a talent to be part of the Virginia Olympic developmental program. And my confidence was really high. And I knew I could compete at the highest level when I made that team. So I kept training in the mornings before school, after school, and even vacations. I knew what I was doing prior to making the team was working. So I wanted to continue doing that and see where it would get me and where it would lead me. And to remain competitive, I kept doing one-on-one technical sessions and strength and conditioning.
Fabulous. I mean, just speaking to you, you just epitomize what I feel a player needs to be successful. You go to your coaches, you train as hard as you can. But you also do the same when you're at home. I mean, there is no day off, really, is there, if you want to become a professional?
No, there's not.
It's all go. And it's an important point we try to hammer home to the young girls that we coach, because we coach from as early as 10 years old right up through to 18. And even you have to take care of what you eat, don't you, even at such a young age, because it does put you in better stead as you move through your age.
It does. Soccer, we say, is a full-time job.
It is. You're quite right. It is. I feel that for coaches. As the coaches, we obviously have to put on the correct sessions for the girls, and we have to put on different types of sessions for different players, because obviously nobody's the same. How did you find the coaching? I know you said Coach Torres was excellent. Do you feel that that was one of the key aspects to you getting to where you are now?
100%, because him training, you know, these professional athletes and training us the same way he trains them, you know, it inspired me. You know, if I can do this and I see them doing this at their training sessions and we're doing the same drills, it inspired me to keep working hard. And, you know, he's going to get me where I want to be.
That's fabulous. And we're obviously slightly different. We introduce to academies. So we take girls from grassroots football. We give them extra training and then we highlight girls and send them directly to the team. So we would effectively be sending players to Coach Torres that he may not have seen, because over in the UK, there's no actual funding for scouts to come out and watch girls play. So we sort of filled the middleman. But yeah, I totally agree. It is an important aspect all the way through the board that the girls train properly, eat properly, if they want to become a professional.
Yeah.
So you also played in France and you scored for Virginia in one of their friendlies. How did that feel?
You know, scoring for Virginia, it felt awesome. It was actually the first goal that we scored there, so it was super hype and everyone was, you know, going crazy. The teams in France were so competitive.
Right.
I'm 5'9". I remember them being like really tall, really physical and aggressive, and I was like, wow, this is what soccer's like over here. So we got to spend time with the players off the field and they were super nice. Like,
yeah.
I'm in contact with them to this day, some of them. And we got to also travel all over France, which is, you know, this was an experience that I'll never forget. I'm so thankful for it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would have never went here and played soccer without the developmental team and representing our country.
No, that's fabulous. I was actually going to come on to that, just saying to you, how important did you find that short period playing in Europe? How did that help you?
It helped me a lot. I learned what the competition is like, not just in this country. And, you know, I kind of learned how they train and how they eat, you know, everyday lifestyle in their life and what they're doing to get where they are. And it inspires me that, you know, I can be like that. And if you put in the extra work and you train, you know, differently and you change how you train, anything you set your mind to, you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always good to have an open mind so that you can learn from every different experience that you have.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Looking at you personally now, rather than the team aspect, you seem pretty flexible position-wise. Do you prefer to play as a striker or as a defender? And what is your drive personally that keeps you motivated on a daily basis?
So I prefer playing centre-back, defender. I played striker when my team needed help up top.
Right.
And what drives me to go forward is to win games and help my team in any way I can. You know, having the ball go forward, that's the only way you can score. And keeping your defensive half kind of risks the other team scoring on you. It's good to possess, but it's also good to go forward and look for the forward options.
Absolutely. That's great. And it's lovely to speak to a defender who gets as much pride out of keeping a clean sheet as it is to score a goal at the other end.
Yeah.
There's not too many around. It's lovely to hear that you do that. Amazing, Alexis. What a brilliant insight into you getting started into football and all through the younger ranks. After our next spell of short commercials, we're back in with young superstar golfer Molly Campbell.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com. Or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now. But did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, everyone, we're back, joined today by our superstar golfer, Molly Campbell. Hi, Molly.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
All right, thank you. Happy New Year.
And to you, thank you very much. And I hope you had a great Christmas as well.
Thank you. It was definitely an interesting one.
Well, we'll come on to that. I obviously know why. We'll come on to that. Just want to touch base with you at the beginning of the year. Another year's ticked over. Can't believe where the time has gone. Obviously, your golf's been a little bit hindered due to COVID and a few other things. Give us a little review of your 2021, your highs and your lows, and what you took most out of the year?
Well, I would say there was definitely probably a lot more lows than there was highs this year. It started off this year, COVID, can't really do anything. And then we got like back into golf and I started to get things going. And then I started playing on the Clutch Pro Tour like more like often and getting used to it all. And then we broke up for summer and then I had an arm injury. So that put me out for about 3 weeks. So then that was no gym or no golf for about 3 weeks. Then I got back into it towards the, I think, the last couple of weeks of summer. And then I went back to school and then, like, I was kind of healing back up again. And then, like, before Christmas, say, like, a couple of weeks before Christmas, I was playing football for my school and another injury occurs.
Wow.
So basically, I had a dirty slide tackle to my right leg, to my standing leg, and it was like tissue damage in like my sort of the back of my knee. That was sort of healing over Christmas break almost. And then on Christmas Eve, I start to feel like I've got a bit of a cold. So with current times, I take a COVID test. COVID test comes back positive.
Crikey.
Take another lateral flow, positive, and then another one, positive. So I end up booking in a PCR test for Christmas Eve.
Yes.
That comes back positive.
Wow.
Interesting one.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a pretty rough year, really, to endure. How have you managed to deal with it? I mean, I know you're an incredibly strong person mentally as well, but how have you managed to deal with it?
Well, it wasn't, like, the worst year to, say, have a bad year.
Fine,
almost,
okay.
Because, like, even though we were starting to come out of COVID, it's still a rough area with COVID, and yes, without the injury, I would have liked to do, like, more events and go further and be practicing more, but, like, I haven't lost the time that, like, say, if we had a full-out season with no COVID, like, we would have had, like, a couple of years ago. It's not as if I'm losing that, but you are still losing that sort of, like, time where, like, for me, winter's one of the most important periods for me because, like, it's when I really train and I can get that time in to do that extra practice without, say, I've got a competition tomorrow.
Yeah.
So where am I meant to practice? But winter, it's meant to be practice every single day, gym every day.
Yeah.
But then it just knocks that all out. Then with those sort of like 4 months that you've got sort of winter time, that then gets knocked down to 2 months.
Yeah.
And then like your whole sort of like training area, which you've had planned out in your mind, is all gone and it's all rushed.
Yeah. And a couple of things that you said there, which I'm going to pick up on, that couple of the main reasons why you do so well because of your mental strength and your drive. Personally, having met you and seen you play and coach a lot of girls at football at a very young age, I don't think it's too young to say people are driven, because I think you get that, and I think the earlier you can put that focus into place, I think it's better. And I think one of the things you said was you took it almost not as a positive, but you took the positive out of the injuries and the COVID, because it wasn't a full year at golf anyway, and you'd rather have it this year than potentially next year.
Yeah, so it's just like the main thing, like you've got to take the positive out of every situation, just be like, well, this is time where I can relax, this is time where I can let my body like have time to relax and comfort it and help it like progress and have time to relax.
Yeah, and that positive thought process to me is another reason or another facet to you, which is why you're so good at what you do at such a young age. Another thing you said was you use the winter as training because you're playing all the time in the summer. You're 12 years old, aren't you?
Yeah.
There's not 13. At that age, an important time in a young person's development because of how their body changes and their minds and interests changes. And the fact that you are taking that out of it, not it's time off, you're saying I can't train. And it's such a great string to your bow. So again, that's another reason. That's just brilliant. What I also want to pick up on is you do a lot of kickboxing, don't you? Do you think your kickboxing really helps you with your important strengths you need for golf physically?
Yes, like 100%, because like I've been doing kickboxing for a very long time now, and it's definitely helped with my strength, because I'm not the tallest girl. Even though, say, I'm a very good golfer, I'm losing distance to other girls.
Yeah.
Even though I do put it to myself, like, it doesn't matter how far behind you are, because you can make it up on the green, and that is true.
Yes.
But, like, even though you might have that in your mind, but the other part of your mind, you've also got, I'm dead far behind these girls, and even though you might not be directly thinking of that, that's always in the back of your head.
Yeah. And it does make it a harder second shot into the green for you, doesn't it, if you're coming in from further?
Yes. And, like, it's about, like, how you've got your fitness speed and your strength.
Yeah.
And it just helps, like, in so many different ways that, like, it's even impossible to explain.
Yeah. But you do give it a whack. I mean, when I come to see you play, which I can't believe probably how long ago it was, because we've had COVID and everything like that, you know what I mean, since, or some parts of lockdown, however many lockdowns we've had since, you were still hitting it sort of 200 yards. And what were you, 11, 2 years ago, was it? Or 18 months ago?
Yeah. It's like, I know, like, I hit it a far away from my age.
Yeah.
Like, but where I'm playing at the minute, because obviously I'm playing a lot on the Clutch Pro Tour.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, I'm playing more with men.
Yeah.
That are probably twice the age of me.
Yep.
And hitting it, like, twice the height of me, and, like, hitting it miles past me. And even though, like, on the day it's just a good laugh and everything,
yeah.
Say the odd time where, like, even though I might be like 100, the red pots might be like, say, 100 yards in front of the white thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if I out hit one of them, for example, I'll be running down the fairway or anything, and it's a good laugh with everybody.
But again, that's another two great points for me that is in your makeup that makes you so good. First of all, you don't get down because of it, because you know that's just natural. You're playing against grown men. A lot of people would get down by that. And the fact also, you're playing on the Clutch Pro Tour. I know we've had this chat before. Your dad and I have talked about it, and you and him decided to take you out of your comfort zone to improve you as a player. And, you know, that's just admirable, and that's brave. I honestly believe if you don't take risks, then you're never going to improve. So if you think of the four things I've just mentioned, it's four great assets that you have, and another reason why you're so good. You said that you didn't have the greatest 2021. Nothing to do with you, due to injury and due to COVID. We've just mentioned that you played on the Clutch Pro Tour against grown men, against scratch handicappers as well. How did you get on?
I did well. For me and my dad, I played really well. Like, even though, say, if you look at the scoreboard, I might be down the bottom somewhere, but all that matters to me is that my handicaps came down, and what I wanted to achieve on that tour for that whole year, just get used to it, and be able to be comfortable in those situations, I achieved that. And in one of the events, I think, like, on the leaderboard, I was number one at one point, even though it might have been for, like, one hole.
Yeah.
My dad has a screenshot on his phone.
Fair play.
On the live leaderboard, of where I'm at the top of the leaderboard in front of everybody else in the amateur tour. Even though those little moments, they mean a lot.
How many 13-year-old girls are on the tour?
None.
Okay. How many girls are 16 and over on the tour?
Not many.
There you go. So you are a standout for your age. You are breaking barriers at your age. All the girls are older, and there's only a handful of boys at your age. So you should be proud of yourself. You mentioned your handicap. Now, I know it came down significantly in 2020. Obviously, that was restricted again this year. What's it down at the moment?
In around 5.8-ish. It was about 10.
You've got it down so many strokes. So you're about 5 at the moment then?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. It honestly is. On that brilliant note, you're obviously looking forward to 2022. I presume you're over your COVID now?
Yes.
You're over your football.
Negative.
Brilliant. You're over your football injury?
Yes.
Brilliant. So, how is golf at the moment in your world for playing? Is there any restrictions on tournaments, or are we okay at the moment?
There's no restrictions at the minute, but obviously, like, today there was announcements schools-wise, so whether that is taken further forward to other places, we do not know yet.
Okay, but at the moment we're okay. Are you going back for another go at the Clutch Pro Tour?
Yes, if I can do, definitely. Then, like, brilliant. I will be there.
Fantastic. And when does that start?
In around April time.
Brilliant. And have you got any other big tournaments planned, or are we just doing the Clutch Pro Tour and your local ones?
I think it'll just be mainly sort of local ones and then the Clutch Pro Tour. But we might branch out and see if we can take it any further. But we might see how further in the season takes us.
Yeah.
But with COVID, we don't really know how restricted we're going to be throughout the season.
Right, that's fair enough. So I'm asking you this question in theoretically that we're going to get no restrictions and no breaches towards playing golf. Are you going to set yourselves any targets for your handicap, or are you just going to play as hard as you can and get it down as low as you can?
Low as I can and just play as hard as I can, because that's the main thing. When I had a high handicap, we were like, oh, well, we'll set a target, just like have sort of an inspiration or like a target to get to.
Yeah.
But because it's so low, it's hard to sort of tell where you're going to get, and it's just about trying as hard as you can to play as hard as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you, and I know you'll always play as hard as you can. And I also know that the lower your handicap is, the harder it is to shift.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant, Molly. Have you got any special things that you're looking out for this year? Any special events?
School, golf, that's pretty much it.
Okay, Molly, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, I'm going to shoot out.
No problem. I know you're going to shoot out in the minute to go to the gym. You've been golf, you've been school. You've had such a busy day, and you're as close to back to normal, I think, as you can be.
I believe so, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, we'll catch up very soon, Molly. Thank you so much, and all the best getting back onto the course and injury-free and having a great year.
Thanks, John.
We finish our show off with our famous SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, tennis, cricket, NBA, NFL and football. We start with golf and the result of the first event of 2022 on the PGA Tour, the Sony Open, held at the Waiabibi Country Club in Honolulu. It was a victory for Hideki Matsuyama, back into form, the Japanese golfer climbing back up the world rankings. He won on minus 23 after a playoff with Russell Henley, who also finished on the same score. The playoff, though, it went to pieces for Russell Henley. He took a 6. Hideki Matsuyama got a birdie 3. Kevin Kisner finished 3rd, joint with Seamus Power, on minus 19, 4 shots back. This week, it's the American Express from the La Quinta Country Club in California. And the big guns are back. John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay and Scottie Scheffler. The European Tour is back with the Abu Dhabi Championships from the Yas Links Golf Course in Abu Dhabi. 3 big names to look out for. Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland. And the LPGA sees the women back as well this week, with a Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions. Pretty much all the big names are there, apart from Jin Young Ko and Lexi Thompson. Look out for, of course, Nelly Korda, Lydia Ko and Imbi Park. Horse racing. Firstly, congratulations to our good friend Holly Doyle, who you've heard on the station many times. She's already got 13 winners for 2022 in her bid to beat 171 from last year. Big races this weekend. The Petermaas Chase. Please look out for Roar Pagal if the ground is soft. Gold Cup pretender last year and needs to get this season back on track. The Clarence House Chase with the big clash between Siskin and Energamame, although we're not sure if Energamame's going to make the trip across the Irish Sea. The Fleur-de-Lis Chase on Sunday, Fakir du Darris and Bristol de Mai would be two to look out for. Two horses we're keen to watch this weekend, Jambon and Tommy's Oscar. On to tennis, and it's the Australian Open, the first Grand Slam of the year from Melbourne. Already there's been a saga with Novak Djokovic advised he could travel over with an exemption of letting know his vaccination status. He wasn't allowed into the country. He was detained. He appealed. He won his appeal. He was then detained again. And now he's been deported back. It's a big saga. And if he hadn't been told in advance that he could travel, this probably wouldn't have happened. Having said that, the French authorities have now said they've got the same basis to be allowed into France, which means Novak now faces a dilemma. Does he go against his principles and get vaccinated? Or does he miss out on another Grand Slam with the French Open in May? This leaves the field open with Daniil Medvedev, the number one player in the world really last year, has the field at his mercy, although Alex Zverev and also Rafael Nadal, the brilliant superstar, could run him close. And in the ladies, we're looking at Ash Barty, the hometown favourite. Now she's got off the mark with Grand Slams to win her home one. Naomi Osaka, probably the best player on the planet in the female game, but has mental health issues. We're not sure what she's like. And of course, Gabby Muguruza and Britain's US Open winner Emma Raducanu. On to cricket and the Ashes, unsurprisingly finished at Australia 4, England 0, and Australia were one wicket away from a 5-0 whitewash against a very talented but poorly performing England team. The fifth test saw Travis Head back after his COVID positive test with 100, and Australia got 303 in the first innings on a bowler's paradise. England replied with just 188. Australia were then skittled for just 155, leaving England needing 274 to win, but they were all out for 124, despite starting off well with Crawley and Burns for 68 for naught. No Butler in this test, no Johnny Bairstow, and of course no Jimmy Anderson, depleted England with injuries to Ollie Robertson and Ben Stokes, but there's still no excuse. They were thoroughly outplayed by Australia. One note from the world of cricket, Virat Kohli's resigned as Indian Test captain after being sacked as one day captain. This man is probably one of the best batsmen ever to walk the cricket pitch, but he just is not a sportsman. He's over aggressive and he gets personal. It's a real shame. I just hope he can concentrate on his batting and do what he does best. On to NBA and some highlighted results last week. 76ers 98, Hornets 109, Hawks 91, Heat 115, Knicks 108, Mavericks 85, Jazz 91, Cavaliers 111, Kings 125, Lakers 116, Bulls 112, Nets 138, Bucks 118, Golden State Warriors 99, Pelicans 113, Clippers 89, Nets 109, Thunder 130, Pacers 94, Suns 112, 76ers 111, Celtics 99, Bulls 96, Golden State Warriors 138, Heat 124, Hawks 118, Bucks 96, Raptors 103, Nets 120, Pelicans 105, Hawks 108, Knicks 117, Heat 98, 76ers 109, Celtics 114, Bulls 112, Spurs 101, Clippers 94, Nuggets 133, Lakers 96, Pistons 108, Suns 135, Timberwolves 119, Golden State Warriors 99, Nuggets 102, Jazz 125, Cavaliers 114, Nets 107, Clippers 139, Pacers 133, Hawks 121, Bucks 114. As you can see, everybody's still beating everybody in the NBA. It's really exciting. And even the best teams sometimes struggle. The East is led by the brilliant Chicago Bulls on 27-15, with the Miami Heat now in second place on 28-16. The Nets are down to third, 27-16. And the Cavaliers are still fourth, 27-18. Bucks are fifth, 27-19. 76ers are sixth, 25-18. Hornets are 7th, 24-20. And those top 8 are rounded up by the Wizards, 23-21. The West are led by the Suns now, 3 games clear. 34-9, what a fantastic record. The Golden State Warriors are 2nd, 31-12. The Grizzlies are 3rd, 31-15. And the Jazz are 4th, 29-15. The Mavericks are 6th, 25-19. The Nuggets are 6th, 22-20. The Lakers are 7th on 22-22, and the Clippers are 8th on 22-23. NFL, and it was the wild card round last weekend, without the Packers and the Titans, who won the right to miss that round for winning their conferences. Bengals 26, Raiders 19. The Bills smashed the Patriots 47-17. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31, Eagles 15. Cowboys 17, 49ers 23, in a great result for the 49ers. Chiefs 42, Steelers 21, and the Rams 34, Cardinals 11. This leaves the divisional round fixtures and the last eight as follows. Titans play the Bengals, Packers play the 49ers, Bucks play the Rams, and the Chiefs play the Bills. We finish off with football and some results from the Premier League. Brighton 1, Crystal Palace 1. Manchester City 1, Chelsea 0, Norwich 2, Everton 1. This resulted in the sack for Rafael Benitez, who really has had a poor time at Everton. Wolverhampton 3, Southampton 1, Newcastle 1, Watford 1, Aston Villa 2, Manchester United 2, West Ham 2, Leeds 3, Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. Some catch-up and matchday 23's fixtures. Brighton versus Chelsea, Leicester versus Tottenham, Brentford versus Manchester United, Watford versus Norwich, Everton versus Aston Villa, Brentford versus Wolves, Leeds versus Newcastle, Manchester United versus West Ham, Southampton versus Manchester City, Crystal Palace versus Liverpool, Leicester versus Brighton, and Chelsea versus Tottenham. Then they go into an international break, and the last league table prior to these fixtures. Manchester City are top, played 22, 55 points. Liverpool are second, played 21, 45 points. And Chelsea are third, played 22, 43 points. West Ham round up the top four, played 23, 37 points. Some results from last weekend in the WSL, the Women's Super League. Manchester United 5, Birmingham 0. Aston Villa 0, Manchester City 3. Leicester 1, Brighton 0. Tottenham 1, West Ham 1. This leaves the league as follows. Arsenal are top, played 10, 25 points. Chelsea are second, played 9, 21 points. Manchester United and Tottenham are joint third, played 11, also 21 points, but with an inferior goal difference. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, guys, that's the end of another brilliant show. I want to say thank you so much to our guests, Danny Mullins from the world of horse racing, Alexis Spans from the world of women's football in America, and Molly Campbell, our champion golfing superstar. I would like to say continued thanks to Johan and the team at UK Health Radio for the platform we are given by them, to our fantastic sponsors, and to our amazing listeners. We hope we keep you entertained. So this is me, John Fry, signing out from another episode of Sport and Lifestyle Biz on UK Health Radio, your global real feel good radio.
There is a star that lights the road. Will it take me to the end? Well, I don't know. But for one last time, I'll take this ride and just drive. I wanna be the only one to make it to the light.